What's up, y'all? Welcome in to Thursday, December 7th episode of Cannabis Insider. Javier Hasse, cannabis content editor, writer, just extraordinaire, international man of mystery, love of my life. Love you, Javi. What's up, man? We are here to chat with a pretty established investor. Very excited to have her on a little bit later. We're also going to chat some celebrity information around cannabis. We got a bunch of stories rolling through cannabis scroll on Benzinga right now. Make sure you check that out. But stay around and let's chat some stocks too. Aaron Thomas, let's get started. Javi, first question for me, man. I'm reading this article by Nina, published 4 hours ago. Nina Zdeniak? Did I say that right?
Zdeniak.
I was terribly off. Apologies, Nina. DEA warns pharmacies selling medical marijuana in Georgia that THC oil is illegal to dispense. I feel like that's somewhat of a blow to Trulieve and other,
small amount of operators. It is true, right? Like for all intents and purposes, it is true on the federal level. However, the DEA is being pretty selective as to who it is warning, right? They're warning pharmacies dispensing medical cannabis oil through pharmacies, but they're not messing with dispensaries.
It seems weird. And it seems weird in the timing too, right? I mean, we're waiting on their recommendation or, you know, what they're going to do with the recommendation for rescheduling. Do you think this at all kind of leans toward them getting more involved?
Probably. Here's the thing, right? In Georgia became the first state where medical cannabis is dispensed through pharmacies.
Yep.
Unlike dispensaries, pharmacies are registered with the DEA, right? So they're only allowed to dispense controlled substances in schedules 2 through 5. And cannabis, for now, is a schedule 1 drug or substance or narcotic, right? So neither marijuana nor THC can lawfully be possessed, handled, or dispensed by any DEA-registered pharmacy.
Awesome. I learned a few things there, Javi.
It's honestly counterintuitive because they go like, okay, wait. So there are these organizations that have to comply with super high standards that are registered with the DEA that we have oversight over as the DEA, and we don't want them selling medical cannabis, but we have no problem and no quarrel with dispensaries who we have no control over.
We could do this all day. You want to talk counterintuitive U.S. politics? It's about a 300-year conversation.
Talking about counterintuitive moves or unexpected moves. Another unexpected move out of Ohio,
the
controlled Senate that was promising to gut the cannabis law there, you know, that was supposed to go into effect today. And they were saying, hey, you know, we'll remove home cultivation, we'll increase taxes, we'll trim THC limitations to lower levels. And suddenly the law went into effect and the GOP-controlled Senate suddenly was okay with it. Even Mike DeWine, the governor and the state Senate leader, Matt Huffman, who had vowed to significantly alter this issue to initiative, now have thrown their support behind this bill, saying, you know, we need to enact it because otherwise we have legal weed for Ohio citizens, but nowhere to buy it.
Yep. I will say, I've never understood. Now maybe in terms of manpower and ability to regulate a new market, right? I mean, there's ramp up there. Like, we have to give these states some leeway in terms of how they're able to regulate a market that there really is singular to Ohio, as it's singular to every state. But I've never understood the South Dakota model of just completely upending what the citizens of the state just voted for. I'm so happy that they did not go down that route. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the governor of South Dakota basically sued for a bill that South Dakota citizens voted in to get that reversed.
And it's insane. It's as if they're trying not to get reelected.
you think? I think eventually they voted for it again, or they were supposed to, maybe never at the ballot. Regardless, Ohio did not do that. Thank the Lord. But we are going to get to our interview here pretty soon. Jackie Cahan from Paragrade Ventures and 240 Logistics is joining us. Phenomenal voice in the space. Very excited for that. However, I think it's worth noting that right now we are looking at a pretty solid bull phase for canna stocks.
Yeah. What Morgan said, right? One of the most ignored bull runs in cannabis. Yesterday, I was on a call with Benzinga analyst Michael Berger from Benzinga Pot Profits. Same conclusion. How are people ignoring this bull run?
It's pretty substantial, right? When we were on Tuesday, Morgan was surprised that I was like, oh, Cresco's up 18% today. He was like, wait, what? Like, that's awesome. It's just because it's been happening, right? It's been ups and downs just like every market. We actually have ups in this one and not just downs. But that said, historically, cannabis stocks are down in December, at least over the past several years, right? But November, I think overall, I think it was Pablo Zwanich that said they were up 9%. And they basically, was saying, it was either Pablo, or another analyst, was saying that December could see substantial gains. And I think it's worth keeping an eye on MSOS, on all these ETFs, but specifically the stocks themselves. I'm looking at 21 hours ago, Choom Holdings. Now granted it's less than a penny stock, but they're up 39,900%. Elixinol Wellness
reverse split or something.
Yeah, a CBD company is up 28% yesterday. Riv Capital, a pretty substantial company there, up 16.5%. I mean, we could keep going on, but like some of these stocks we don't talk about a lot are getting, pretty respectable views right now. So all in all, Javi, I think it's worth calling out Cansortium and Canopy both up 3.5% to 4%. Both pretty solid stocks in the cannabis space for all intents and purposes.
Definitely. No, man. Love it. Do you think any of this is in response to Dave Joyce reintroducing the States Act 2.0?
No. I mean, I think it adds to positive sentiment, right? Yes. I think it adds to positive sentiment, but I think people are still trading on safer. Actually, I think they're trading on safer still more than rescheduling, and I think that's an issue. So if you're going to be bearish about something, it's what are people trading on? The institutional investors are still not in, which Jackie Cahan, I hope she comes on and just annihilates me with some of this and is more bullish than me. But
he's like, yep.
I know. We're actually going to talk to an investor. But I think that it adds to positive sentiment, but I still am hesitant to say people are trading on the right thing.
Indeed.
Awesome. Should we bring on?
Rapid fire.
Rundown. Javier, rundown.
Bunch of celebrity stuff. Seth Rogen was seen smoking weed on the Las Vegas Sphere mega screen or whatever you call it, exo screen. We don't know if it's real or a hoax, but awesome video. Bazinga.com/cannabis for more details. Roll Rolling Papers and our good friend Josh Kesselman have donated $100,000 to support Last Prisoner Project. Koala Puffs, another good friend of the house, launched apricot-flavored hemp cones with King Palm. And last but not least, next Tuesday, is it December 12th? Is it Tuesday?
Yes, you're right.
Good question. So next Tuesday, I'm participating in a panel called Meet the Cannabis Press at 2 p.m. Eastern. This is a panel virtual webinar that you can register for free. Bazinga.com/cannabis for more details, hosted by Proven Media and the Cannabis Marketing Association. We have journalists from Forbes, MG Magazine, Cannabis and Tech Today, Marijuana Ventures, Cannabis Business Times, and of course, again, yours truly, you know, discussing a little bit of what you can do to capture the media's attention. So again, right after this show, next Tuesday, you can head out to this webinar. I'm
sorry, this is a fake news, fake panel. I don't believe this. Because I was just on a Meet the Cannabis Press panel, and I'm offended a little bit. And
you did the last panel at MJ Biz. You did the other one. What was that one called?
It was called Meet the Cannabis Press, Javier.
There you go.
We're original. We are so original. I love it. That's a solid stacked lineup. When I did it, we had Hearst's Green State, us, and MJ Biz. So we're getting a full gauntlet, man.
I'm kind of confused when people say Cannabis Press. I always think of a rosin press. I know I shouldn't, but get me that rosin.
Oh man, I'm down for it. Feel free to send some if you guys want to send us samples. All that said, Javier, any other headlines you want to point out before we bring on our guest for the day?
No, senor, we are good to go. Who do we have today?
Let's bring over Jackie Cahan, 240 Logistics and Paragrade Ventures. Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Good afternoon, whatever it is where you are.
So nice to have you with us. It's afternoon for both of us.
Perfect.
So, Jackie, I mean, I know you can talk about a lot of different perspectives here, but let's start with how you got into the cannabis space and what your first perspective of the industry is.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for asking. So for me, it was, you know, a concerted effort to move away from alcohol and to really look for the health and wellness and really optimizing my human experience, if you will. For me, there's no manuals on how to be human unless you guys, do you have one? Do you have a manual on how to be human? Exactly. So
we have a manual on Meet the Cannabis Press.
Okay. Well, and so it really, as I started researching, started understanding how to become an optimum human, started understanding what my body needed, it really said, listen, of all the things that you can put in your body, alcohol is by far the worst. And this is not an alcohol bashing podcast. I'm certain of that. But it is a podcast that really should help and shape people when they think about health and wellness and about really achieving their human, optimized human capabilities. So that's where it started back in April of 2021. I came out of the legacy market, you know, making butters in my home when the kids were gone at camp because it smells everywhere, right? and to really, you know, it went legal here in Illinois and was excited to be one of those first, you know, participants in the industry where we, you know, the lines wrap around the block when you first go legal in these states. And so I'm delighted to say I can walk in now and place a quick order. So
what did that initial line look like, right? And you know, I've cited Tommy Chong a few times here. On the first time I interviewed him, he said, you know, the first line I saw at a dispensary in Colorado looked more like a nursing home than it looked like a weed store. And this is the new face of cannabis. That is what he said, right? I agree to a large extent. But like, what was that line in your experience? How was it in Illinois? Was it the same? Was it different? Was it a mix?
Yeah, I mean, these were people, you know, who understand the power of the plant. So, you know, legacy is alive and well. We all know this. This is what we're up against. Our competition really is truly that legacy market because, as you guys just mentioned, 280E tax complications, it makes it expensive to buy it from a retailer, very expensive for the consumer. So those consumers were the people, you know, the moms and the dads who know how important this medicine is. They stood in the line, it wrapped around this crazy parking lot, industrial park. It was still a little bit kind of down an alleyway, if you will, but everybody was there. It was such a hospitable experience. Everyone was chatting and what number are you? And like, how, you know, what are you looking for? What brands are you excited about? Yeah. I love those days. I miss that, really, that excitement about when it first goes rec. There's just so much possibility and everyone's glassy eyed and wide eyed. Like, what do you mean? There's something wrong with the cannabis supply chain.
We become spoiled so quickly where like it lasts like 2-3 weeks of excitement. It's like, I can't believe we have legal weed now. And suddenly it's like, this sucks. It's like Wi-Fi in airplanes. It's like, this sucks, dude. You're flying in a tin can, like 30,000 feet in the air, and you have like Wi-Fi. Maybe Netflix isn't streaming.
Oh my gosh. But Javier, even worse in the airline industry, you've been getting those same boarding passes for the last 50 years. They use these printers that I don't know if they've got like millions of them somewhere in storage that they're like, nope, got to keep replacing these. All of that paper, right? That same boarding pass, it's exactly the same for the last 50 years. Don't get me started on other industries and professionalizing them because I'll get all off track.
I try so hard not to get a boarding pass printed just on a personal level. I'm like, it's so wasteful. Anyways, well, we are not an alcohol bashing show. I may or may not be sitting next to my beer fridge. But all that said, Jackie, I think maybe a little comparison in terms of supply chain would do us good in terms of the technology that, you know, and distribution that an industry like alcohol has, obviously very different from say like pharmaceuticals or tobacco, but depending on what you compare us to the most, but where does supply chain need to look next? Like what is an ideal marketplace look like?
Yeah. Thanks for asking, Elliot, because it really is what we are setting out to do, which is to fix this supply chain. It is broken in every state, in every market. It doesn't matter. It's broken. When a brand becomes the largest creditor in a supply chain, it's broken. The brands are the largest creditors in the supply chain. And when they don't get paid, what happens to that brand? They fall off the shelf. So we've taken that approach to strengthen the retailers. We've said, let's give the retailers the tools that they need to be successful. While they sit in and may be able to enjoy the largest margins in this supply chain, they also are hardest impacted by 280E. That's why nobody buys anything come October 15th. They literally stop buying goods. People who need specific brands, who need specific goods, they can't find them in this quarter because the retailers simply stop buying.
That's a tax thing, right? Like the tax cut is like anything you can deduct stops at October 15th?
Well, no, it's worse than that. So what 280E says is that you, as an illicit business, are not allowed to subtract your selling, general, and administrative expenses. So you're stuck at cost of goods sold, you're stuck at gross margins, and you have to report all of those revenues. So when a retailer has to put goods inside of their building and those goods haven't sold, then unfortunately that's just tied up cash that's sitting that they have to pay tax on because it isn't part of their cost of goods sold because they haven't sold it. So they look to get rid of everything on their shelves, to have a bare, empty facility as of December 31st, and then they start buying in droves again. So what we did is we set out to say, let us help you. Let us strengthen the retailers. Let us give them the tools that every other industry has, which is proper purchase orders, receiving reports, and this little thing called an invoice so that they can actually understand that they have those goods. Oh, but let's take it even further. Let's make sure that they're putting the right goods on the right shelf. Because if you're relying on a bud tender, which is akin to a bartender who's making your purchasing decisions, they might not have the best interest of the business in mind. So when you think about the middle shelf, right, that's all of those goods that have the highest margins that consumer can see when they come in because it's eye level. And they are the consistent goods that they should be buying and purchasing over and over again because it generates the most cash flow to their bottom line. Yes, you need luxury goods. You need that top shelf. You need the Grey Gooses of the world. You need the whatever cannabis strain you want to put in the $1,400 to $1,700 per pound range. And you need that, but that's a very specific buyer and that will never have the margins that your middle shelf will have. Oh, and by the way, you should have your well filled as well because the value consumer is going to come over and over again for those $8 pre-rolls. And that's not going to generate a ton of margins and certainly not a lot of cash flow for you, but you've got a great customer that's going to continue to come back. And sometimes you can get them pushed up to that mid-shelf. That's the alcohol reference. Everybody knows what goes on the top shelf in alcohol. Everybody knows. But you have no idea what's in your well. And they do that specifically because you're not buying the pop-offs, right? That's the vodka brand that's in the well. I ran 15 restaurants in the city of Chicago. And the bartender knew that he needed those shelves, but I couldn't convince my chef partners that you needed to tailor your menu the exact same way. So I get to do this now in the cannabis industry. I get to say, you have to plan how you're selling these goods based on that shelf to attract the experience that the consumer is looking for, because retailers are going to go out of business. Yeah. They're going to go away. It's an experience that I don't get Whole Foods delivered anymore, right? I don't need to go to Whole Foods or any grocery store. That's a commodity. I need those goods. The same is going to happen in cannabis. People don't need to go to the store. God will, right? We get there.
Yeah. You actually answered my question about supply chain. It sounds like it needs to somewhat influence consumer buying and patterns. And I think at least earlier in the year, you know, we've had several people come on the show and say, you know, when people go to a dispensary, you know, they're not looking at a connoisseur's perspective. They're looking at a brown paper bag perspective. Right. You know, and brands maybe don't hold the value they will one day. But how much of that is on the brand right now versus what's on you? Because I think I do question the education there for new consumers. And I always have. Javier can, you know, whether he agrees with me or not, can say that I have. I don't think the education is there for new consumers. I think we do rely on bud tenders. And I think brands are not meeting the need.
They're not. There are some really great brands that are, right? Mm-hmm. So, and to reflect on what you just said, that's why I'm most excited about the rescheduling, because when those dollars can come in, the research dollars can come in on this plant, we'll get better labeling. We'll get cannabinoids instead of, do you want sativa or indica? I don't know, right? Because
right.
Netflix tells me that sativa and indica doesn't exist any longer, right? That they've been over hybridized and that those actual real sort of classifications have gone away. So let's go back and let's really talk about cannabinoids and what each cannabinoid can do inside of your body and how it interacts with your endocannabinoid system. That's the education part that I'm looking forward to. There are some really clever brands, right, who are saying instead sleepy time. Yeah. They're saying,
yeah, that's what I want, because cannabinoids are complex as well. Like, honestly, I don't see people anytime in the future. I mean, some people will, but the masses won't walk into a store or go online and go, I'm looking for linalool today. It's like, what? No.
Right.
I mean, I've worked in cannabis for 10 years. When I call my grower, my, you know, medical cannabis grower, I go like, you know what? It's I like something that is lower on THC. And she goes like, okay, so no more banana punch. Now you should go to Chi CBD. And I'm like, yep, that's the one. I need something to go to sleep. I don't want to be extremely high. I'm not 19 anymore, you know, and that is my conversation with a professional grower, with me having grown for the last 18 years and having worked in cannabis for 10. I don't go like, what is the cannabinoid profile at all?
No. And that's why I love those brands who are being so clever about it, calling it uplifting, calling it sleepy time. Like, you know, there's this, and this is represented in mainstream media, right? The blueberry candy is talked about right now. We all know what the blueberry candy is, even though it's not blueberry. That brand doesn't sell blueberry. But yet mainstream has come out and called it a blueberry candy. And so all of these women are going, where's the blueberry candy, Jackie? And I'm like, whoa, I guess I got to come up with a brand that's called blueberry candy.
I guess in terms of the technology side, you are, you know, you're in supply chain, you're in technology, you're there for the retailer, you know, which obviously is there for the brand. But tech, I mean, it's ever growing. And I think I heard something at MJ Biz last week that said there's too much tech, that they actually like asked a question to the audience. And they're like, do you all feel like we have too much technology? And there was a sizable portion that raised their hand and said yes.
That's fascinating.
So, I mean, what do retailers need right now?
Yeah. So I'm glad that you asked that, because I don't disagree with the general consensus of that audience, because tech is confusing. And every time you talk about data and tech, everyone goes, "Oh, you're stealing my data. Oh my gosh, here's more tech. And what is it solving for?" So, our approach is always people, process, then technology. Technology doesn't replace people. Technology doesn't better, well, sorry, it does better the process, but it doesn't replace a standard operating procedure. It is there to help and assist. So when you sort of narrate around how technology is assisting supply chain, now you start to see all I'm doing is providing really good data and insights. I'm telling the retailer that when those goods need to arrive on that shelf for just-in-time inventory, so they don't have a storeroom full of boxes of goods that are going to take them 60 days to sell through, so that they're managing their cash appropriately, because it's still COD for the most part, except for my retailers, my gold-tiered retailers get terms in the markets in which I operate in. That's unusual in this business, which is unfortunate. But when we start to provide really valuable data that says these are the brands that are performing and performing well, I can support the brand's sell-through into that store. So while I'm a really great brand partner, it's even more important to be a really, really fantastic retail partner.
Amen.
And that's how you strengthen the supply chain. And it really, Javier, to your point, it goes all the way back to the seed, right? And you just said it. I need to ensure that the right seeds are put into the ground, because we haven't even talked about the commodity that we're actually talking about, that there could be times where we run out of seeds. Like, that's crazy to think about, right?
How? When? What? How would we run out of seeds? Okay, this is a first. I have never heard anything like this. Like, what I hear about seeds is like people exported 5 million seeds. You can get 5,000 seeds from one plant, right? Like, you pollinize just one male and you get, or like one female, and you get like.
But that strain-specific seed gets bought up by these big conglomerates, and it's no longer available to your craft grower who wants to get that and make that exact brand that's on your shelves. When you have those big, and it happened to me, because there are very important seeds inside of my brand portfolio. And the big conglomerate came in and bought that entire seed profile, and I no longer have access to it. That happens. That's not protecting the supply chain.
Interesting.
You know, it's kind of, you know, back to the alcohol analogy again. Apologies. We're back here again. Are genetics the equivalent of grapes in the sense that, like, retailers and hospitality lounges, they're like, this is grown with yay seed with, you know, this terp, you know, like, I mean, will that be a destination for that sort of education?
I think so. I think it's the only way that we empower people is by educating them. And if you don't know what you're putting inside of your body, that's a problem. So the way that we've approached it, right, we have a really, really important brand, a really important product that's coming on the market. Because if and when this thing goes reschedule, there are going to be a tremendous amount of the brands that are on the market right now that the FDA won't permit you to purchase, because they won't be FDA approved. A lot of the edibles that are on this market that use butane, that use, you know, propane in order to extract, that's not so great, right? So we've crafted a protein that enables that the effective delivery system inside of the body, because the body knows what to do with the protein. It does not know what to do with the chemicals that we're talking about.
That's interesting. Super interesting. I want to hear more about that, but for another show, but I would want to know if it's like a hemp protein or what it is. And also, I do like PHO, to be very honest. But, you know, to close it up, because we're a little bit over time, maybe this is a deep rabbit hole, but let's try and keep it tight. What is the Doobie Decimal System?
Yes. So, right, stock keeping units don't exist in cannabis. That should really blow everybody's mind. Everybody thinks the little packet identification when you purchase it from the dispensary is the SKU. It's not. It's just a packet identification. So we created a stock keeping unit nomenclature so that every time, just like Whole Foods, I'll go back to my Whole Foods example. If I'm Manitoba Hemp Hearts and I say I would like Whole Foods to deliver and to sell my goods, Whole Foods says you need to put it into this SKU format in order for it to be sold at our stores. So that vendor will go ahead and quickly put it into that SKU because they want it on those Whole Foods. We did the exact same thing. We went to every single partner that we work with and we said, you're going to use our same nomenclature to create your stock keeping units so that I have the ability to track that data. That's the data point that I'm grabbing on when that SKU crosses that shelf. Because now what I do is I look at that SKU level. I don't care about a category. I mean, I do. Don't get me wrong. I care about how categories are performing. But when I tell my brand how their SKU is performing, that's powerful information.
Can I just go ahead and ask the cannabis community at large to just adopt this?
Yes!
And not do the cannabis community thing where they make 15 failing competitors. Yes. Can we please just have one?
A cannabis-friendly social media alternative to Instagram. Oh, yeah, really?
I love it.
Javi has thoughts about social media. But Jackie, this has been super informative. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Are you going to invest in more cannabis businesses next year?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. You guys started the conversation right at the top of the hour. Like, we are so, so bullish on this market. Come on, right? Mm. When you give data and insights to people who can invest, I now make actionable decisions. I don't enter a market until I have data and insights, and now I am empowered.
Mm.
That's how I make investing decisions, with good data. I don't like feelings, guys. Feelings are just...
Really? No, come on. People always say, I invest in people, not companies. And I was about to pitch you my company.
I invest in people all day long, but with good data and facts. Because if you can take those feelings out of it with real good data and facts, and that's not because there aren't going to be some pre-revenue people. And certainly all ideas are good ideas until we flesh them out. But if you're talking about really this supply chain in cannabis, really being able to see that supply chain, I'm a really important partner to all of my brands. I can help position them on those shelves. I can help position them in terms of how much they're going to sell their goods for. And by the way, I'm going to move it every single day for them, no matter what the weather is, just in time.
Mm.
That's
Jackie. Phenomenal insights. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We do have to hop, but we will have you back. This is too good.
Please. I love it. Have a great day, guys. Happy holidays,
you too, Jackie.
Everyone.
Happy holidays. Until next time.
You got it.
All right, Javi, that was awesome. She's a great guest. We got to have her back.
Here. Awesome.
Yeah. Javi,
I'm already thinking clips.
All right, y'all. Clip, we have clip. One more week in 2023 of cannabis show content for Benzinga. And then we are donezo. So make sure to tune in next week. I believe Tuesday, Wednesday / Thursday, Friday. We'll see when these come out next week. But we have a lot of guests to get through in two more shows. So make sure to share with your friends. Make sure to share Jackie's insights with your friends, because it sounds like we all need them. But Javier, always a pleasure, my brother. Any last thoughts?
Always a pleasure. Nope. Just bzcannabis.com.
Bzcannabis.com.
You know what's up there.
Yeah, we are. We're going to make some changes, and they're exciting.
Oh, man. Awesome. I think the event that we're preparing for Hollywood, Florida for April 16th and 17th might be the most engaging, fun, different, creative Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference we've hosted so far. And we've done 17.
More?
This is our 18th conference.
Yeah.
And we're ready to change it up just because we feel like it, because we think it'll be better for you. We have more space for networking. We have a bunch of surprises. I can't spoil it, but I will be dropping
more opportunity for you to engage directly with leaders, and really, if we're real, for leaders to engage directly with you. So make sure you get your tickets. They are as cheap now as they will ever be. They're like $200, y'all. You can't beat that for our conference. With that said, that's all the pumping we're going to do. bzcannabis.com. The event speaks for itself. Just ask anybody who's been. Until Tuesday, Javier, my friend, see you guys next time. Peace.